We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is the official radio home of the Chicago Cubs. Listen to every game here.
Swing and a drive to left field. This ball's got a chance. Gone! Wilson Contreras
on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We are WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Station. The Score! Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago sports talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
Carlos Rodon was a late scratch with a stomach ailment. I worry that he's not entirely reliable. Nothing to do with this missed start. Everything to do with some of the other things that we've seen over the years. You know, I love what I've seen from Carlos Rodon because he's kind of turned the clock back and he seems like he's healthy again, but he's been unhealthy for a long time. So it's just a reminder that maybe he isn't the most reliable starter, and don't get too excited about what he's done. Now, I don't want to say that, but okay, if you're going to bring it up, I'll say it.
You just said it. I guess he has earned that kind of skepticism. I suppose when you're a high draft pick and you have fallen short of expectations as often as Carlos Rodon has, these kind of questions are things you're going to have to deal with, even though I think it is grossly unfair to connect a stomach issue, which I don't have any reason to doubt its legitimacy, with arm issues or problems, the things that kept him out of the rotation more times than not in his first few years with the White Sox. I liked everything that Carlos Rodon had to offer his first time out. I really admire his competitiveness. I like to watch him pitch as much as any White Sox starter.
3-2. Rodon. Oh, get there. To third. Moncada. Carlos Rodon has thrown a no-hitter.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got to tell you, David, there are moments in life, there are moments in sports that become so wonderful, that become so all-encompassing, that they take away your troubles, your worries, your problems. It puts you in a different mindset. It, you know, we had some stuff going on around here, just homeowner nonsense, garbage stuff, you know, trouble, leakage, just, you know, something bad happening with your plumbing. And it's like the sort of thing that everybody goes through that drives you out of your head. And I was dealing with everything, and then I just sat down to watch the White Sox, and they delighted me. The abundance of runs, the avalanche of runs, and you're dealing with other things, and life is around you, and then you start watching this guy, and you're watching no-hitter, and I got to tell you, and it was a near perfecto. I don't know that didn't make it more glorious in some weird way. It was like the tiny blemish on the face of the supermodel. It just brought out the beauty of the moment even more, if that's not an absurd thing to say. I was so happy when I went to bed last night. I was like so excited. I felt like a child before Christmas. I was having a hard time sleeping because my mind was racing, thinking about what Carlos Rodon had done with his no-hitter, how extraordinary it was to actually watch this guy, with everything that's happened around him, be able to focus and have that moment. David, that's the triumph of the human spirit.
Morning, Morley. Yeah, happy Thursday. That was a big night. It was a special night. It is amazing culmination of Carlos Rodon's comeback. That's great that he had that effect on you. I think Sox fans, they sure seemed like there were more than 8,000 or 9,000 at the Guaranteed Rate Field last night, on their feet, celebrating a moment nobody will soon forget. When you have people who throw no hitters in baseball, obviously they make history. But I think what happened last night was it felt like more than that because of all that he had overcome. 2 years ago, next month, he went under the knife and had Tommy John surgery. It was the second major surgery that Carlos Rodon had had. So when he does something like he did against the Indians, and I do think that there was an element of symmetry, or it was appropriate that it wasn't the perfect game. It was sort of the imperfect perfect game. The no-hitter still stood, and it kind of represented, all right, well, fine, because if he needs to overcome this, what's one more thing in his way? Carlos Rodon, the consummate competitor, a night to remember for the White Sox. Congratulations to him.
He was DFA'd. I mean, they had seen enough, and they were going to move on from Carlos Rodon. And it was he could have signed anywhere. It was uncertain what the future held for him. He had to, he had a rough year a year ago. We went through all the things that happened, and I didn't hear a lot of people complaining when he was DFA'd. Now, he wasn't this guy. He looks like his best self, what we've seen thus far of him. He'd never had a complete game shutout, and he pitched a no-hitter. He'd had one complete game in his career. That was his 100th appearance, and he'd had one complete game, and my God, he threw a no-hitter. It was absolutely extraordinary, and the perfect game was alive inning after inning after inning, when you really started getting on board with it. I got to tell you, it was just an extraordinary story. First of all, the night itself was an extraordinary story, but his story, his narrative, is just extraordinary.
Let's face it. I mean, the White Sox had all but given up on him because he was a symbol of disappointment. He was the third overall pick in the 2014 draft, and because of injury, because of inconsistency, he was never able to reach the potential that you thought that he had coming out of North Carolina State. So last December, they decided to non-tender him. Don't you remember the headline? Cubs going to take a look at Rodon. What do you think about the Cubs thinking about Rodon at the fifth spot? We had that conversation on this show throughout the city, and he would hear none of it. This is a guy that was committed to coming back and being different than the pitcher you saw rattled in the playoff game, the pitcher you saw rattled last time he faced the Cleveland Indians in relief. He did not remember that. Wasn't that up in
Gosh.
Yeah. It was awful. So he was in command last night. You saw the emotion get the best of him. Father of two, family on hand. This was just one of those moments, again, that you feel good for the guy. You feel great for the team, but you almost feel better for the guy because of how far he had to come to achieve this.
It blows my mind that he pitched a no-hitter. One of his sliders scraped a guy's toe in the ninth inning. Otherwise, it's a perfecto. He didn't walk anybody, but there is a hit batsman on that one. So I guess that's kind of an asterisk. I don't know. It's not a walk. It was near perfect. But he ends up with the no-hitter, and his catcher is Zach Collins, and his left fielder is Andrew Vaughn. I texted you during the game, like, do you leave Vaughn in here? I'm just like, what are you doing? He had 5 putouts in that game. Yermin Mercedes was the home run hitter. I mean, that wasn't the winning run because the guy only needed the one, but he hit a 3-run homer. He got 3 hits on the night. You're talking about this collection of really bizarre, unlikely events, maybe the most unlikely of which is Carlos Rodon with a no-hitter.
Maybe. Or Jose Abreu making the defensive play of the game. The
How
one that will
that?
Live forever. The Dwayne Wise moment for the White Sox. This was Jose Abreu, the MVP because of his bat and his leadership, turning his glove to save the no-hitter in the ninth inning of all times. And diving, Molly, did you feel like almost a little sick thinking, okay, what did Jose Abreu pull when he lunged for the first base there? Goodness sakes, that was awkward. But he did what he needed to do. The Sox had a collection of guys, as you point out, that had different roles as the hero. Andrew Vaughn's status in left field is kind of amusing because you texted me and I answered, yeah, I would have replaced him likely because it's just human nature, right? Get your best defensive outfield out there. And Tony La Russa sticks with the kid and he has a good night. And boy, it was just, from Mercedes to Vaughn to Abreu. And then Zach Collins, as you point out, another first round draft pick who has been disappointing throughout his tenure with the White Sox. He's always going to have the moment, the night that he caught a no-hitter for another first-round draft pick in Carlos Rodon. Just a lot of things to feel good about if you're a Sox fan.
I thought it was pretty funny when they went to Ozzy and Frank and they talked about the fact that there were first-round draft picks contributing, and Ozzy just laughed at that idea. I mean, the Sox have gone years and years and years where first-round draft picks have been a disaster, where they, like everyone else, didn't take Mike Trout and I don't know. You add it all up, and you look at it, and that was more the exception than the rule. Let's put it that way. Absolutely, just a fantastic night. Really, it just delighted me. It was one of those sports moments. I had friends of mine texting me. We were going back and forth, and there was an energy. Call your sons, call your daughters. There was this energy that was created as people were watching this that I felt was kind of communal. It was one of these things where, who wouldn't appreciate it? You don't have to be a fan of the team to appreciate a guy having that moment in his life. But there was something about that guy having that moment, giving all that he has been through and all the work he's had to put in. David, I heard one interview where he said, I was pissed about getting non-tendered. And he said that he and his wife are going to go on vacation and that, she's had a couple of kids here. They haven't really been away. And he's like, I'm not going anywhere. And that this was, last year. I can't do it. I can't go sit someplace and be in a happy place when I'm feeling this miserable. And I got work to do. And he went at it and rehabbed, and he's a different man right now.
You know what's another great element about that part of the story is that you see a lot of guys who, in this case, it was non-tendering. In other cases, it's either getting DFA'd or some sort of transaction, and they want to come back, and they want to prove that it was a bad decision and the organization did them wrong, and they want to maybe get back at them with another team or, with another home. Carlos Rodon wanted to return to Chicago to prove that the White Sox were wrong in giving up on him by winning with them, with the team, by rewarding their faith at one point in time when they saw him as a top of the rotation starter when they drafted him out of North Carolina State. And he came back here, which isn't easy to do, to kind of redefine the second phase of his career. And this is a great way to get started. This is his second start. Now he's given up two hits and two starts. That's a pretty good opening to 2021.
keep it up. Yeah. Tons of fun. I mean, we got tons to get into. There's so many things to talk about with it. Zach Plesac, who has been kind of a boogeyman of sorts for the White Sox, he's always seemed to pitch very well against Chicago. He was run out in the first inning. I mean, they put six runs up immediately. We mentioned Yermin with the three-run homer, estimated 431-foot home run. That made it 4-0. Tony La Russa is mentioned again. Tim Anderson will be back today, so the timing is pretty glorious. The Cubs game, I mean, the Cubs were awful. That was a horrible performance. And we were all texting back and forth about it. It was just god-awful. And sitting through it cost you life momentum, which, thank God, Carlos Rodon gave you back. The Bulls were god-awful. And it doesn't matter, David. I'm not going to get upset about it, but just as long as we're talking about it on this glorious morning following a glorious evening, there were a couple of bad things that happened, too.
Yeah, we had a no-no and two no-shows with the Cubs and the Bulls because they were clunkers. And I don't know if the Bulls bottomed out. I don't know if the Cubs bottomed out, but certainly those are games that made that discussion worthwhile for a little bit. So we don't have to dwell on the Cubs or the Bulls. We will talk about them because it did happen. The Bears were in the news a little bit yesterday with Matt Nagy taking a trip to Columbus. That was interesting. So there's plenty to talk about, but I think the star of the hour or the 4 hours and the star of today, Carlos Rodon, with just a tremendous, tremendous moment on the South Side. And I think that the way he reacted to it just made the night even more enjoyable, Molly, because he still, you know, kind of had this sort of pinch me reality sinking in. And he just was enjoying every step of the way. It seemed like it did resonate a little bit louder, maybe obviously here in Chicago, but even Rodon alluded to, there was another no-hitter in baseball last week, Joe Musgrove, for the Padres, as Rodon referred to him, what's his name in San Diego? That was hilarious post-game.
He was so good post-game. I mean, it was the delight that he had was just palpable, and we'll get through it, and we'll let you hear some of it, and we'll talk about it, we'll take your calls. I mean, God, I'm sitting there watching that thinking, wouldn't that have been something to have been there? You know, wouldn't that have been an amazing thing to witness? But I'm sure a lot of us will claim that we were there even though we weren't, and that's okay. That's part of the whole thing. I loved watching it, and I loved that, as I said, the sense of everyone jumping in.
And aren't you glad now that he had a tummy ache the other day? So he had to get pushed back to last night.
Hey, that seems like a pretty decent formula, David, if you want to try that one again. All right, we've got tons to get to. We got a great sports moment last night. We'll bring in our executive producer. I think he lost a wager yesterday. That was the standard $10,000 wager that we always have, I believe. I'm not sure we put a dollar figure on it, but I think Dustin's in the whole $10K. That's okay. I'll take my time in collecting it, even if it takes years. We'll talk about it all. We'll get to all of it in the 5 at 5. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
How incredible is the Carlos Rodon 2021 storyline, especially after last night's no-hitter? Is he a force to be reckoned with now? Were you disappointed he didn't get the perfecto?
Yeah, you know, I was not that disappointed about the perfecto. I know I should be, but I was just so caught up in the moment, and it was a pity, but he had to laugh at it, and he had to, you know, kind of, hey, why didn't you try to jump out of the way of that one? I thought that was kind of funny, that idea. But look, I mean, what an extraordinary night. What a great moment for him. What a great accomplishment for him in his career. I can't get down on anything. I'm just saying I'm all pumped up now. And I, you know, he threw his fastest pitch in the ninth inning. He hit like 98.8 or something. I mean,
yeah.
Yes, he's a force to be reckoned with. It seems like when you do something like that, right? I mean, You gotta feel pretty damn good about yourself.
When you think about no other pitcher in Major League history has gotten off to this kind of start, Mully, in terms of your first two starts giving up two hits or fewer, yeah, it's okay to get excited. It's okay to kind of recalibrate in your head what you expected for Carlos Rodon in 2021. I think everybody naturally is doing that. When you see his stuff, when you see the 19 swings and misses, you see 75 strikes out of 114 pitches and him hitting 98.8 in the ninth inning, goodness sakes, is he got a live arm, and he looks better than ever, and he was never better than he was last night, and couldn't happen to a guy who deserves it anymore. And naturally, you're watching. We're all watching. We're all at the edge of our seats in the ninth inning. And my first reaction was, I think that a lot of people when he hit Perez, and it was like, what are you doing, guy? Get out of the way. Don't you understand baseball protocol? Isn't there an unwritten rule here that Tony La Russa came up with that you have to avoid all fastballs aimed at your shin or your shoe in the ninth inning of a perfect game? So I was a little bit deflated momentarily that the 26th batter couldn't get out of the way of Carlos Rodon's slider, I guess it was. But then he rallied. You know, he did not diminish anything. And you had the big defensive play. You had a lot to like. So I would think that, yeah, it would have been nice to have the perfect game because of the distinction. But it's almost, as we talked about in the first segment, appropriate and more fitting that Carlos Rodon even had to overcome one more thing to enjoy his night in history.
If we did a which Chicago pitcher would pitch a no-hitter before the start of this season draft, Carlos Rodon might have been eighth if we were taking the 10 proposed starting pitchers in Chicago, both sides of town. Carlos might have been the eighth guy taken, Cubs and Sox, between the two teams. This is an incredible story. And Cleveland's not terrible. I mean, they're not great, but they're not terrible. It's not the Pirates. This wasn't an interleague game. I mean, they're good. They're a good team. Now, part of it might have been the egg that their starting pitcher laid to start the game out. I mean, they almost quit worse than the Cubs quit before that game even started yesterday. I'm very happy for Carlos. It's a good story. I know I gave him a little crap, and I gave the White Sox crap for how they handled his upset stomach the night before. But that's great. That's a great story. I love the McCann part of it. I love the Abreu defensive part of it. Mully, to your point about should they have changed out Vaughn in left field, and then he has five putouts in the game, also had a really great hit in the first inning. I mean, it was a great night at 35th and Shields. Now, unfortunately for me on this group, I was kind of punishing myself as the Catholic guilt that I have, and I was focused in on the awful, wretched Bulls game last night, waiting to see if Wendell Carter would indeed be carried off the court. As far as the guy getting out of the way, I think that's the beauty of what Rodon was throwing when I heard some post-game interviews. And I don't think he knew that that ball, that was the pitch Carlos intended to throw. Like, he wanted the pitch to go at his feet, and he was looking for a swinging miss in that spot. So it's hard to really blame the guy. Sure, of course, a perfecto is better than a no-no. But at this point, for Carlos Rodon, where he was, and you know, David brought it up in the first segment, we talked about potentially him going to the Cubs. I mean, this is a great story. So the perfecto thing, I'm not getting on that today. Maybe tomorrow, but not today.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
Can we finally, once and for all, agree that your mean Mercedes needs to be in the lineup every day? Against all teams and all pitchers, are you willing to be the one to tell Tony La Russa?
Oh, I'll tell Tony La Russa. Absolutely. I don't think that's a hard conversation to have. And I don't know that he would necessarily disagree. I think he's coming around to that thinking. You know, there have been – the Sox are now have played, what, 12 games or so? He's been in the lineup a lot, and I don't want to see him leave it, and nobody should. My gosh, he had three hits again last night, and that home run was epic, especially given the circumstances that now we're always going to remember that night on the south side and who homered and who came through and had the big hit in the big inning and gave Carlos Rodon the cushion he took advantage of. But I think that if you, again, the way that we are sort of reconfiguring and rethinking what we expect out of Carlos Rodon for 2021, maybe you have to, you know, maybe this was the first, it should have come first, but you've got to rethink how you're approaching the DH position. The injury to Eloy made all of these other things possible and maybe even necessary. But now that Yermín Mercedes is hitting 500, yeah, he's hitting 500 after 12 games, you can't ignore that, and he is an everyday DH until proven otherwise, until the league catches up to him. If they can, catch him if you can, because Yermín goes up there and he's got a plan. This doesn't feel fluky just because of the way that he... I mean, obviously, okay, if you're hitting 512 games, maybe there's a little fluky feel to it. But I think that when you see him hit and people say that his approach is part of this, I think you ride it as long as you possibly can, Molly, because there's no reason to replace him in a lineup because you don't really have, you certainly don't have any better options than the guy who's leading the league in hitting.
Yeah, I you know, righty, lefty, ambidextrous, whatever it might be, I want to see that guy bat. And it's fun when he comes up to bat. And then when he gets a bloop single, it seems like an event. It just seems like so much fun because it's so wacky what's happening with him. But, you know, you said it. He has good at-bats. He has an approach. He goes up there with a plan, and he puts it into play. I got to tell you, if you don't want that guy starting in your lineup and you don't want that guy as a regular in your lineup, then you're not watching the games because he's been sensational, whether it's hitting behind a guy, taking a walk. There are different ways you can contribute, even when you're not hitting the 431 homer. And how cool was it for Rodon to go on the bump with a 6-run lead, right? You know the game's over. You know you've won. And now it's just a question of how long you're going to go. A glorious night in all ways for the White Sox.
The round mound of pound, okay? The round mound of pound. That's what we got going on. I mean, that was an unbelievable shot. And I actually happened, the Bulls were in a commercial, and I clicked over, and I saw that thing, and I was like, holy cow. And then they were debating about how far that thing actually went. And, you know, StatCast had it at this, and Stoney had it at this. We're going to talk to Stone tomorrow at 8:30. Can't wait to hear what he thought about Carlos last night. But that, yeah, this guy's got to be, listen, let the league try to figure him out. Let's watch that chess match go on. Round mound of pound.
That's clever. Well done. Did you watch the Bulls on purpose? I mean, after a while,
well,
did you get the sense of
based
like...
based on yesterday's show, I knew, listen, we all watched the Cubs game together until Mark.
Lost
I mean,
too.
they were smart. They actually pulled the plug. You didn't get it so lucky, David. So I figured with
funny.
This group
yeah.
that it was my duty. It was my duty to watch the Bulls because, David, I figured you'd be clicking and no fault of Mully, but Mully would be dug in no matter what on the Sox game last night. So it was
I was
more
clicking.
Of a dutiful
thing. Plus, I was clicking. Yeah.
I was on the must-win statement game for the Bulls, and they failed miserably since they decided not to play basically in the first quarter of the game,
boy.
Except for Vooch. Okay, if it wasn't for Vooch, they had a loss by 20 last night.
That was
Those are tough questions to answer because it's like, what do I say to that?
Was yesterday's 7-0 loss to Milwaukee the Cubs' worst game of this young season? Why or why not? Are you as concerned as ever about the team's offense?
Boy, I mean, I think you got to be concerned about a lot of things after watching that. That was terrible. I mean, that was really so much for, you know, for Wilson Contreras' revenge. I guess it only lasted the one at bat, right? And then it's over. You know, you had a pitcher there that confounded you, that you couldn't, it seemed like they couldn't get a good at bat against the guy. You had so many issues. The Shelby Miller stuff, I think I may have texted to you guys. And, again, we lost it. That Dustin was saying Marquis cut out at one point, and I didn't see the entire pitcher at bat, and then it popped back on. And David told us that we were lucky that we had missed it because Dustin and I are on the same cable system, and it went dark briefly, and poor David had to endure the whole thing. But I said something like, you know, is Rossi channeling and his inner Tony La Russa leaving this guy in there? I didn't get that at all. Shelby Miller, I think after two batters, I texted, this guy's in a world of trouble. He did not have it. There was no chance that this was going to work out well. And watching him walk in some runs after that, you're just kind of like, okay. I mean, you felt awful for the guy. You know, it's been a while. He's there. He's having this comeback. It was a great spring training story. And now he's like walking in runs and you're like it was hard to look at. It was really hard. And I get it. You know, Urias, oh, he's really tough against right. And then you bring in poor Steele. This guy's got the notes. He's got the crib sheet. What do I do with this man on second and a pitcher? The poor kid. And then, you know, again, I went black, but I'm told that the pitcher got the hit. So, yeah. Mother of God, that was rough stuff.
You'd think a pitcher named Miller would feel more comfortable in the ballpark in Milwaukee. But
he owned the place.
Yeah. Was not the case. And the Cubs made a statement. That was a statement game for them. It says, we're still tired and we still can't hit. So it doesn't look like they're snapping out of it anytime soon. That's so frustrating. I mean, which game do you want to pick out of the first dozen that defines their offensive futility? It's hard to watch and it's frustrating. And you guys were the lucky ones. I mean, this Cub team, it's agony sometimes. And you do watch out of duty. And this shouldn't be the case because the offensive inability to get anybody on base is redundant, it's repetitive, and it's so frustrating. But look, it's a small thing, and I know it's my thing, but okay, you know, Sogard's hitting 136. My guy Bodie's hitting 109. I know they had great spring trainings, and they beat out Nico Horner, and they won the competition. Oh, great for them. You know, it's time. It's time. Bring up somebody to change the mix. Do something different. Nico Horner does not. If he can't hit better than the second baseman on that team, then you should just cut him, trade him, get rid of him. Because I don't care about his service time, and I don't care how young he is and what he still needs to work on and needs to open his stance a little bit. Whatever. He can't be worse. Come on, guys. This is hard to watch. Give us something to cling on to in the way of hope. The Cubs' offense is hard to endure day after day, game after game, seeing the same sort of poor approach. How many inches did Javi Baez miss his final strikeout, that fastball out of the zone? He's chasing. This is so hard to
he was going to swing no matter what.
Bring
David,
Nico up.
Can I say that on a day, the day after Andrew Vaughn started in left field during a no-hitter, I now acknowledge you are baseball sage, and I'm on the bring up Nico or whatever else
okay.
You want to start. I'm with you now. Oh, great, David Haw. Thank
That's
you,
That's all
sir.
It took was a no-hitter.
Five putouts in one.
Well, I love David's continued passion on Nico Horner. I do love it. He owns it. And I wouldn't disagree, but at this point now, based on where they're at, you gotta let the service time thing kick in. You just do, because he's not going to all of a sudden put them on a six-game winning streak. So you have to die on that sword that you created, Cubs. Here's the thing. Did David Ross check in with Tony La Russa before the game? And Mully, by the way, it's a no bet. You know, if Wilson Contreras isn't in the game, of course there's not going to be any retribution. We should have waited, and we could have done this on social
You
media.
Should have waited. You owe me $10K. Our usual bet.
Okay. I'll give you 10 cutout. I'll give you 10 cutout Ks. Carlos Rodon had 7, but I'll give you 10. We'll give you a couple reverses for looking. That offense. Here's, you know, you have a day off today, Cubs. Today you have a day off. You essentially took 2 days off. That lineup was a lineup for a team that was sitting 7-3, not 3-7 or whatever they are right now. That's not a lineup for a team that's about to lose their third series of a very young season. That David Ross needed, the question needed to be asked yesterday. David, how did you put that lineup together? Are we going to go back to 19 when even Zach and Coomer were exhausted from all the flying around when they played all those games? They played, you know, 45 games in 50 days or whatever it was. And
45
all we
and
heard about
think,
was the,
yeah.
the bitching and moaning about flying first
days.
Class and staying in 5-star hotels and eating steak 4 times a day. And, oh, am I pooped out? I mean, hey. Give me a break. I mean, how in the world do these guys need 2 days off? 2 days off? At this point in the season,
and if you're Jake Arrieta and you're taking the mound,
mad. I am so mad, David. I am so mad.
Wouldn't you at some point before the game go into Rossi's office? Hey, Rossi, there's no KB in the lineup. There's no Contreras in the lineup. What are you doing to me here? I mean, you have
How about
to give
skip my start. How about skip my start? And give me another day because I'm tired too. I'm exhausted from my time in Philly. Can I have a day? I'm going to have a cheat day. I'm going to go eat 96 pancakes and a pound of bacon.
Pay off the bet, Dustin. You made the bet. People are texting in that you're a Welcher. I don't want to call names, but how do you
the text screen? By the way, I mean, top of six, man. The text screen is on fire right now.
And have you seen, by the way, have you seen Jake Arrieta in this sort of like sleeveless Cub shirt? He doesn't eat pancakes and bacon.
No, he has that cheat day. I've heard him on the Score talk about the cheat day. It's epic.
Yeah, that's a great question, and it differs for every guy.
Did the Cubs' decision to option Adbert Elzeli to South Bend surprise you? Even with the 6.10 ERA in his two starts, didn't he look better that last time out? Will he be back in a week, 2 weeks, when?
I hope it's in time to make his next start. I don't know what's going on here. I assume it's just to create roster flexibility, to add another pitcher to the mix. But if they are in some way demoting him because of his last outing, that's a mistake. You know, he's a young pitcher. Here's the thing. If you were going to designate him your fifth starter over Millsy, who has been your most versatile and in the eyes of Tommy Hondeby, your most valuable pitcher so far, emergency closer Alec Mills, emergency starter Alec Mills, emergency middleman Alec Mills. If you were going to award Adbert Elzeli the job because he was young and you wanted to develop pitching and all of those reasons that we heard, what's he doing getting on the toll road and heading over to South Bend? I love South Bend. You guys know that. But Adbert Elzeli should not be there. Okay, we're triggered by everything with the Cubs.
Where should he go, David? Go on. Help him out.
He should go to the bullpen and wait out till his fifth start. Why is he leaving the Cubs? I don't know. I don't get it. I'm sorry. Let's stop talking about the Cubs. I'm tired of them.
Yeah, I got to tell you, that one confused me because I honestly did think Adbert was significantly better in the second start. And I thought it was cool when he came out and he stood there talking to Jake Arrieta. And there's been a lot of talk of them spending time together, and him kind of using Jake as sort of a mentor type thing. But I saw that happen. I saw him come out of the game and he's talking to him and they're discussing what's going on while the bullpen is blowing up on him. But I thought Adbert actually pitched pretty well in his second start. It did surprise me. I wonder, and I don't know, and I wish I had the answer, but I wonder if this is more roster manipulation stuff where they know they've got the off day today and the off day on Monday and they're moving around their rotation. So he's got the option. You let him go back and you let him pitch a game so he stays on his normal kind of rest and his normal routine, and then he comes back and makes his next start. So they also have so many guys now, you know, they're moving pieces around because the bullpen is kind of a mess right now, given that three members of the bullpen had to go on that, and then you bring a guy back. So I'm just curious as to whether that's all this is, just a sort of a kind of manipulation of it. But I when you look at it the way you have, David, I think it's inexplicable. It doesn't make any sense to me. And you're right. Are you saying that Alec Mills now is your guy because he had a good four-inning stretch there? And I love what Millsy's done, but I think Elzele should be in this rotation. I think he is in the rotation, and I think this is more just kind of churning roster stuff.
Fifth starter. Adbert will be back in the rotation. Even though they took yesterday off, today is the official off day, and then Monday is another official off day, just in case David Ross was not aware with that. And my kids love David Ross. I like David Ross a lot. I like the fact that he comes on the Score two times a month with Lawrence. I wish he would come on with us as well. He used to come on with us, but that's another story. Listen, this is all about the fact that the bullpen and the COVID and the concern and that's what this is about. Now, I think it'll be interesting to see how many pitches they waste on him. I think Sunday he's going to make a start in South Bend. He's actually going to be in that game, not like a side session, not a simulated game, an actual start. So how many pitches will they waste on the guy? He's not a – listen, we talked about this the other day. He's a starter. He's not Alec Mills. He's not a guy who can come in and out. If he's going to start, then let him start. And so he didn't need to be in Milwaukee for all that shenanigans yesterday. He probably didn't need to see what the reaction was to his mentor based on the lineup that Rossi put out there when he was going on. And I'm talking about Jake Arrieta.
I'm sorry, I have a question for you.
Should the Bulls feel embarrassed this morning after their shameful, uninspired loss to the Orlando Magic? Was that the worst game of the year?
I'm going to go with the Cubs' worst game of the year and the Bulls' worst game of the year. That was the worst game of the year because you just lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves, because you're on a three-game losing streak and you have an opponent that you got to be able to beat, because Wendell Carter Jr., the unavailable one, was working harder than anybody on your team. And I thought they got something from Vooch because he's always there for you. And I thought Tice was pretty good. He gave you something. Other than that, I didn't see anything. I saw a team that is flawed and broken and no damn good. And we had decided that was both. We had to emphasize the importance, both statement game and must win. Well, they didn't win, and they made a statement all right, which is look away, okay? This is us. We're going through this period. We're losing now. We're not going to be able to win. It doesn't matter where the game is played. It doesn't matter if we've been on the road too long or we're home or whatever happens. We are not good enough. This team is not good enough. That was an embarrassment. It was an embarrassment from the start of the game through the end of the game. They were getting beaten badly by a team they're significantly better than. The one rule in the NBA, and really it's the rule in all sports, you got to be better than teams to make the playoffs, and you got to beat the teams you're better than. And I don't know that the Bulls are better than the team they just lost to because of the way they lost to them. So I don't know about the playoffs. Everything's on the table. That was the worst game of the year, and they've had some clunkers.
Here's what was so bad about it, because I would disagree with only one thing that you said. The Bulls are better than the Magic. The Bulls are better than the Timberwolves. The problem is that talent alone won't get you anywhere in any sport, let alone the NBA. And the problem is the Bulls took the court against both of those teams in the past week, believing that they were better than the teams that they were playing, and that was going to be enough. Talent without effort is irrelevant. Talent without effort is a wasted opportunity, because the Bulls, they still don't know what effort really means. They still don't know what a professional effort is, because if they did, we wouldn't be asking this question several times over the last week or so. Is this the worst loss of the season against the Timberwolves? Well, yeah, you could make that argument. Is this the worst loss of the season after last night? Yes, you could make that argument, and I think you would have a more convincing, compelling argument because of everything last night represented. You didn't have any excuse not to be motivated. You were playing against Vooch's former team. They were coming in with the guy that you discarded and unloaded in Wendell Carter Jr. that you knew was going to be up to prove something, that you were wrong in getting rid of him. He had 19-12. Pretty good. Meanwhile, the Bulls played with a sense of urgency for, 8 or 9 minutes. Oh, okay. Well, you know what? We're down 23. Let's start playing now, guys. Okay, so they cut it to 6. Big deal. Big deal. You haven't earned the right to be that lax. You can take nobody for granted. You're the team that teams can take for granted, by the way. So, yeah, I'm with you. Worst loss of the season. Let's talk about the White Sox.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about the White Sox. I've got about 4 minutes so Ray doesn't go nutso on me here, because I could talk for about a half an hour on this. Yeah, we talk about the numbers, and you know me, I'm a big climb into the numbers guy. Let's get into the stats. Let's dig it up. So we got two guys. We got Vooch, and we got Mr. Zach LaVine, and they combined for 59 points last night. And I had said that these two should just roll out of bed and combine for 50. But the other problem is that the only Bulls only had three guys in total in double figures. And if you look at the starters, one other guy had 9 points. Troy Brown Jr. might be the least effort, worst guy. He got dunked on in the second quarter or the end of the first quarter so badly. Like, he just stood there, and instead of leaving his feet, he just watched and thought the ball was going to come to him. And an Orlando Magic player who gave a rat's ass last night jumped over him and threw the ball through the hoop, and the Bulls were down by 12. Then Lauri Markkanen comes in. Okay, the great Lauri, he had 6 whole points in 17 minutes of play. Great job. He had 2 threes. You know, he literally stands outside the 3-point line, and he just stands there. The Magic, 6 players in double figures. So maybe there is an issue. Weddington said it the other day on the show. You can't just stand around and watch Zach play. And so this is, you know, the coaching's got to be in question. The chemistry's got to be in question. It's a lot of in this whole idea that the 19-year-old is tired. He's exhausted. He's got this NBA fatigue because he's never played this many. I think that's a bunch of malarkey. But when you take a guy that high, he's not – Patrick Williams isn't doing anything right now. He's absent. And I hate to say it, this team almost seems worse now than before the trade. They almost. I know that in the long run, Vooch is going to be better. They're going to like the fact that they have the guy. But right now, today, they're worse than they were prior to the NBA trade deadline. Worse.
3-8. They're 3-8 since the trade. That stinks. That is worse than they were.
But they've been in Chicago for what, 3 days, 3.5 days, something like that. I mean, I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying. You make a big trade like that, you change that many players, and usually you have a period to kind of adjust a little. We don't know what they are.
He's going to be, those two guys are going to be here next year. We know that for sure, and I guess then we'll have to wait until then. I expected a lot more, and maybe that 59 points, they score 59 and they lose. I'd rather them score 40 and they win, obviously. Get some more guys involved in the game. I think too many guys are just standing around watching.
Let's talk more about Carlos Rodon, shall we? Let's talk more about the fact that when that game started, honest to God, I thought our conversation today would be about the kid from Crown Point. And, I said to you that he probably wanted to jump in his car and drive back to the hotel and maybe talk about what the media thought of his performance, because it seemed like the Sox took all of their frustration of the Shane Bieber game out on Zach Plesac in the first inning. And then it ends up being Carlos Rodon Day at the ballpark, which was extraordinary.
Let's praise Carlos Rodon without having to disparage Crown Point, but I get you. Your point is about Zach Plesac. Zach Plesac did not have
him
last night.
I'm not disparaging all of Crown Point. I'm just saying that from Crown Point.
Speaking of Crown Point and speaking of the Plesacs, how about Dan Plesac last night? Love Dan. Does a great job, MLB Network. He tweeted out during the game. He tweeted out during the game the 5 best pitchers that he has seen so far this year, top 5. And I tweeted back at him and says, well, you might want to wait. Carlos Rodon might want a word about this in a little bit. And he came back and he gave Rodon his due on Twitter and otherwise because, of course, the fellow NC State graduate is pulling for his fellow NC State left-hander. And he was loving the Carlos Rodon no-hitter as much as anybody. So, Dan Plesac, he's excellent analyst and willing to acknowledge when he maybe overlooked a guy.
Yeah. It's supposed to be family first, but he's more about the White Sox, is that it? What do you say?
Yeah, right. That's it.
All right, 312-644-6767. Were you there? Were you among the 7,000? If you were, you're probably sleeping, so don't lie to us. But I'd love to get the sense of the ballpark a little bit because it was one of those nights. I mean, people are on their feet. The game's over, right? And then you go through the game, and then the game becomes really important at the end. And again, how awesome is it that a guy throws a no-hitter, but there's a tinge of disappointment because he was that close to a perfect game. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.